There we go. After we close the door, it's Anarchy. It's August 2nd, Anarchy Radio. And this is 541-346-0645, as Carl has informed you. And it could be wild and woolly tonight. We'll just have to see. Well, you know, I had a note last week, and I didn't get around to it in terms of the absolutely important historical monumental thing that was going on with raising the limit on the national debt. God, there, you know, in terms, it's sort of, well, to begin with, what passes for politics in any sense of the word is quite crazy in this country, quite circumscribed, to put it mildly. But I could have predicted this. In fact, it would have been impossible not to predict it, that there was, of course, there wasn't going to be any default, and that Obama was going to cave in to the right and all the rest of that, of course, on this deal to avert the default on the debt. No cap at all on war, on any of the wars spending. But, and getting into slightly more interesting territory, as with every other country, the powerless will be punished. They will be squeezed, because now austerity, in quotes, is the name of the game. All that is quite obvious, but I think one could also see in this possibly the need of the dominant system to have these great diversions, to have nothing else in the news, the political news, except this. The need to change the subject, or to divert attention from the failures that are becoming so hard to ignore. The system just needs diversions, so we can go on endlessly about something that is really a dead issue in terms of the all of the parameters of it. Well, I don't want to go on with that. Here's a possible tie-in that occurred to me. David Graeber, who's a, quote, anarchist anthropologist. He's teaching in London now. He's come out with a book. His new book is called Debt, The First 5,000 Years. And, you know, that's an interesting topic, the whole business of the history of credit systems, and where does money enter the picture, and what is the nature of debt as a social construction, and things like that. Graeber maintains that debt has come to pervade every aspect of our lives, and I wouldn't totally deny that, but he talks about how, and this is not just ancient history, but debts can be absolved at the stroke of a pen. Sometimes debt is just written off, but other things that are pervading our lives can't be. The ruling classes can't just sign a piece of paper and have domestication or mass production society or anything like that go away. So, but I'm not sure Graeber is maintaining that debt is the most key overarching thing. Graeber has got a history of being part of the drop the debt thing. You might remember back 10 years ago when it was called the anti-globalization movement. People like Bono, the big rich rock star from U2, going around with that thing. You know, let's give the global south a break. Let's just write off the debt. It's kind of doesn't challenge really any institutions. Not that it would be a bad idea. Anyway, there was an interview. Alex Bradshaw brought this to the attention of InfoShop News. Interview with Graeber. And he says he's been involved with the Drop the Debt campaigns of various sorts since at least 2000. And now, by the way, it's the alter-globalization movement. I love that. It's kind of like beyond globalization or post-globalization, maybe. And the interviewer tries to get down to what this is all about. What is the relevance of debt in terms of politics, or his politics? What is your alternative? How could it run? I think the implication was, how could things function without debt and credit and so forth? And what would you like to see? Well, he completely ducks the question and ends up with this. This is an anarchist, Graeber. This is the last, very last part of the interview. If democracy is to mean anything, it has to mean that it's not just the richest 1% who get to decide everything. So this is just progressive, mild Chomsky-like stuff. It doesn't really go anywhere. Much like the ballyhooed crisis of the national debt, I'm afraid. Well, the real news, there was a very disturbing picture on the front page of the New York Times today as the Somalis are starving 500,000 children, and not just in that country, on the brink of death. Yeah, look at that. It's hard to even look at. Yeah, that's the real world, and what else? Well, we have to have the energy. There's the overarching demand for energy. Wind turbines. Los Angeles Times last Thursday called Winds of Change. Quite a good piece. These wind turbines, they have to step in at the industrial level. And now they're building these giant things that are some have blades as long as a football field. They're just these incredibly huge things, monstrous machines, and they will be mass produced by 2015. Which what is that? Not many years ago, to step in to drive the industrial processes. That's the way it is. The it's not just some cute little clean thing. Oh, we got a call. Oh, one other thing, by the way, the current New Yorker, I just got to mention this cover. You know, the typical, kind of stereotypical cartoon figure on this little desert island, kind of tattered clothes, sitting underneath a palm tree. Well, the palm tree is, you guessed it, a giant wind turbine. It could be a cell phone tower, by the way, it occurred to me. But, yeah, that's the name of the tune. So, who we got?
You got Pax.
Pax. Hi there.
Hi, John. How's it going?
Good, good.
Yeah, so I guess you and I had been emailing, and I wanted to take a moment to, like, clarify a few things that got said last time.
Okay.
So what Michael did last time is something called snitch jacketing. It's where you accuse someone of being a federal agent or an infiltrator without any evidence to try to discredit what they're doing. Michael Franklin referred to me by my full name and accused me of being an agent, which I'm definitely not.
You know, just in the matter of it might have come across that way. I listened to it again, and he didn't actually say you were that. It fed into a conversation about COINTELPRO type stuff, but I think, to be exact about it, he did mention your name, but I don't believe he actually said you were, at least that's, when I heard it the second time, it didn't sound that way exactly.
Oh, okay. He was talking about the people who kicked him out of the book fair, and
right.
He said, it's not always like Anna, who was, of course, fed for the Green Scare, saying that sometimes they're not in the movement for 6 months like she was, but sometimes they're in for years. I guess I'd be curious who else he could be referring to. He also seemed unclear about why he was kicked out of the book fair. But he admitted to threatening and harassing me, which is one of the reasons that he was kicked out of the book fair. He had also in the past fed into some transphobic rhetoric that was being used. He's also propped up racist Malthusian ideas, and these reasons combined form the reason that he was kicked out of the book fair. He's a dangerous person who has made dangerous threats against anarchists, and so if he was confused as to why he got kicked out, that is why. Yeah, I guess these are things that I felt like needed to be cleared up because they were dangerous when left unchecked or unchallenged.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not party to all this stuff. Apparently, there are people who don't feel that way. But, you know, you and I have been talking about that probably a constructive deal would be some kind of face-to-face discussion or clarifying this or challenging or, you know, getting down to the facts and what to do about it. And
right.
That's, as I told you, you're quite welcome to call because Michael called last week. And, you know, this could probably go back and forth a lot. No, I didn't. Yes, I did. You know what I mean? But,
right.
And so, I mean, I think this type of thing is important. So it's totally fine to bring it up. Would that seem to be the way to go in terms of, something happening in Portland rather than, I mean, in addition to, you know, conversations on the show here?
Yeah, I mean, something akin to mediation or an accountability process would be something that I think could be very productive.
Uh-huh.
The only problem is getting harder and harder to find people who would be willing to participate in something like that as Michael lashes out against more and more people when he is snitch jacketing as a tactic to keep people who want to hold him accountable from speaking up. That was one way that removed a lot of the people who were supporting doing an accountability process when I called him out for his transphobia and he used the threat of violence multiple times and the threat of like imminent direct physical violence against me. That knocked out a lot of potential allies who'd be interested in speaking with him. My hope is that there is still support for talking to him, but I can definitely understand why people don't feel like they're able to go through what he has put me through.
Yeah, it sounds like you've explored this somewhat already.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely beginning to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely interested in getting this issue resolved, but mm-hmm. I also have to keep somewhat of a safe distance. I don't want somebody who wishes to harm me to, like, have information about me.
Well, would there be others, if you're not willing to do it, would there be others who would? I mean, or maybe there's, or are you saying there, nobody wants to be a part of it?
I'm hoping that there are others, and I'm talking to others who might be interested. My hope is that maybe he, like, sees how his coming on this show and using snitch jacketing was harmful, and, like, if he could take a step back from that, and maybe if he could take a step back from his threatening and, like, violent behavior, that would lead to more people stepping forward. But I'm definitely talking to people, and I'm hoping to be able to initiate some sort of an accountability process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, that's...
If I could clarify one other thing.
Sure.
It wasn't the Red and Black Cafe as an institution that kicked him out of the book fair or that has any political issue with him. The Red and Black Cafe is 11 people, half of whom probably don't even know who Michael is. Some of the people who are involved in this do work at the Red and Black Cafe, but we as an institution haven't, like, made any position on it.
I see. Yeah, that's, yeah. Okay. Anything else? It sounds like there's quite a gap in all this in terms of claims.
Yeah, there always is, I guess. I wouldn't expect him to own up to his behaviors right away.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well... Yeah, you're okay. It's good to get your statement, and it's been good communicating. Although, you know, I'm at a loss a bit down here in terms of I've seen Michael as kind of brash, and you know, but I've never seen the violent stuff. So
yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, I hope this can go forward in some way that can lead to something that, you know, gets over certain things. Or...
Yeah, totally. I hope that this can resolve and that Michael can get the help and the support that he needs to change those behaviors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And
good.
I appreciate you giving me time to counter those ideas.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Thanks for calling.
All right, thanks.
Take care. Okay, well, yeah, that I was not surprised that that Pax made that call. Kind of a lot of upset all around. And I don't know whether... I think that does have to be resolved up there. But I don't know, there might even be more calls, and I'm not going to suppress any of them. Okay, a little more... Well, let's just go through a little bit of news. The first genetically modified fish for human consumption is slated to... that approval will happen if the Obama administration has its way, although there's certainly opposition, especially given the how unhealthy all this is. Also in the news, by the way, the salmonella thing, the pollution involved with fish farming and... involving other countries besides this one who've already moved into that kind of domestication with a vengeance. Glacier, big story about Glacier National Park. A century and a half ago, there were 150 glaciers in what is now Glacier National Park. There are 25 now. This, the erosion of the ice there has been going on for a while. It started actually in the middle of the 19th century. But it has really been accelerating, and they might all be gone in 10 years, or actually less than 10 years. And we see every successive announcement or study or conclusion, it seems, you probably noticed this, each one says, it's a lot worse than we thought. It's worsening, it's deteriorating way faster than our other report said. And, yeah, things, speaking of deterioration, for the empire in Iraq, very bad, very much, a lot of violence, a lot of corruption. And the idea that the U.S. is going to pull out all the troops is way subject to doubt at this point. Then we got another caller. I think we're going to have an anti-Facebook poem at the end of the show. I'll mention that a little more later. Somebody there?
Yeah, we got Michael.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, John, how you doing?
You know, you got to keep this short because I can't take the hour to go back and forth about this. I really can't.
Yeah, I
can you hear me? I can't hear you.
Oh,
he's kind of quiet.
Hello, you can't hear me?
Barely.
Can you hear me?
Barely.
Okay, I don't know how to fix that. My volume's all the way up.
Oh, there we go. We're fine.
Okay, I was just wondering if Pax could elucidate a little bit as to the, you know, this history that he speaks about of my violence and transphobia. You know, there's absolutely no evidence of that anywhere in my history as far as my dealings with people. And the incident he's talking about, he's never really elucidated upon. And it's also nice to know that somebody's concerned, that Pax is concerned for who I am as a person, and he's showcasing that by you know, reaching out and speaking to me and sharing his concerns with me and looking towards me. Oh, wait, no, he's not doing that. That's right. What they're doing is bullying, gang-like mentality, and sending out vicious emails all over the country about me. That's right. That's what they're doing. So this whole, like, I'm concerned for Michael and hope he becomes a better person gig is really just bunk and bogus. And it's, you know, again, I did not snitch jacket any person on your show. I think it's pretty clear if anybody wants to listen to that. If anybody would take the time to actually listen, they would see what was said. But that's all.
Okay.
That's the last I'm going to bring it on your show, John. So thanks for being our Jerry Springer host to our internal anarcho-politic drama.
I
think it is important to bring these things about and show the way that this discourse works and doesn't work.
Well, if it can work, you know, if there's a possibility of direct dialogue up there, I think that's... seems to be the only way, rather than, I mean, I can see why people are airing it here. I mean, this is the kind of thing that is tough stuff, you know, so Anyway,
well, it really is affecting a lot of people in the community, and that's the saddest part, is that it couldn't just be left to them hating me and attacking me. They're now attacking all of my friends and anybody who supports me in any way. That's the saddest thing, like, you know, for me, to see an entire community be affected by this, you know, disagreement and ensuing drama is just ridiculous.
Okay, Michael. And, yeah, we'll see who else wants to call, by the way. Take care.
Thanks, God, bye.
Okay, yes, I think the phone could be ringing away here, but let's see, where was I? Yeah, here we go. Yeah, you know, one thing I was noticing, I doubt if this has anything to do with summer movies, but there have been a few, like The Tree of Life. There are films now. The other one that I was reading about, I haven't seen that one. I've seen The Tree of Life. Really have very ambitious, scope. Very kind of not postmodern. Sleep Furiously from Wales is another one where they're really tackling very deep social, philosophical questions. The Future, yeah, this is a brand new one, about a couple in L.A. in their 30s, wondering if this is all, you know, if this kind of life is, if all we get, you know, it's exploring the anomie and confusion in American life, reads one of the reviews. Of course, it's nothing, it's not... not a never happened before kind of thing, but I think there's maybe a little more of it. And here's, meanwhile, we got the video game part of it too. I was reading about Child of Eden and other reviews about that. Sensory trip to a paradise on screen with the full-out high-tech capabilities here. It even brings up a form of synesthesia where there's a crossing of different senses. Neurological. Maybe that's another part of this yearning for something different and trying to satisfy it in that way with more and more high-tech stuff. And but speaking of games, now, this is another brand new thing. There are various virtual reality games where you can buy virtual goods with real money, of course. Diablo 3 from Blizzard Entertainment takes this to a new level. You can buy and sell stuff. Now, there's virtual trading. It's not just digital ephemera. You might buy a little bit of it for your fantasy Cityville landscape or your other persona. But now it's a whole economy. And there are millions of people willing to put out bucks. We've known that for a while. So this is getting... It's a whole dynamic economy. Dungeons and Dragons meets eBay was one of the things here. And today, this is pretty sad. A British guy recently died playing. He played video games for 12 hours at a time, and died of a blood clot because of that sort of is a vein thrombosis thing. If you're sitting in one place forever. You know, somebody whose life was on the screen, who stayed up all night. Well, the family is trying to put out the alarm about that. Probably not a good idea to spend your life sitting there. Guy was getting obese and didn't have a life besides that. Speaking of sitting before a screen for long periods of time, something we have the young have to look forward to, not just hours, but years and years at a time. This is just this afternoon on Fox News. Exciting new research released today from Columbia University Medical Center about age-related muscle weakness. This just really got me. I'm glad I got it just in time to talk about it. Apparently, the model is that calcium on a cellular level is what regulates the relaxation and contraction of your muscles. In other words, you know, that's what you're doing when you're using your muscles. But after a while, the calcium sort of leaks out of the cells, so that doesn't work very well. So now there's a drug for that called S107. And, yeah, you can be weak and sedentary and stare at the screen until you're blind, but take some S107. Yeah, exercise? I mean, I volunteer in the weight room at the local YMCA, and I know a little bit about the literature. In your old age, you can grow muscles. You can be strong and not just sit there waiting for some drug technology. This is just sick. This is just the whole, the basic unhealthiness of mass society. This is just a perfect thing. You couldn't have written it up any better. And they just ignore that. Oh, yeah, sure, there's exercise or hormone treatments. You know, they might build muscle mass, but they don't necessarily improve muscle function the way this drug does. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt it doesn't work the same way as gobbling the latest pharmaceutical and sit there addicted to that. We haven't started here about the side effects or the cost or anything else, whereas you can move your butt and be strong. That's just not in the picture. Well, before we take a break and do some action news and other things, by the way, it's 541-346-0645. There's a new book called In a Lonely Place, photos from the U.S. by Gregory Crudson, apparently the dark side of Norman Rockwell's America, and some reading about this show. And it really shows the eerie side of things, like perhaps the loneliness expressed in Edward Hopper paintings or David Lynch movies. Blue Velvet comes to mind, or Diane Arbus's photos. And I was talking about The Pale King from the late David Foster Wallace, and it just started to pour in on me. What kind of expression doesn't say this is not about this, really, because that's the powerful reality of it. And I guess it's hard to peddle any kind of Norman Rockwell now, much later, many decades after the fact of when he was peddling his stuff. Well, yeah, let's take a little music break. Get to some action news and so forth.
Yeah.
And we're back. We're back with action reports here. You remember on July 2nd, the fighting exactly 30 days ago, I guess, huh? Exactly a month ago. The 6 hours in the Val de Souza, west of Turin, this long-running battle really came to a head there against the high-speed train and all that it represents, the fracturing of the social fabric out there in the valley. 200 people injured, almost all of whom were cops. Well, there have been lots of raids against the equipment of the of what they're trying to put through, against police equipment and police stations. And I was just sort of seeing that as a pattern. Wasn't just up there, but and this just came out, but 10 days ago in Rome, the Tiburtina station in Rome, enormous fire there, burned for 15 hours. Then this is a station they're building to house the TAV, the high-speed train lines, and there's a strong suspicion that this has to do with the fight up north. It's quite a long ways from Turin or the Souza Valley. And there are people that are quite happy to claim that that's part of the struggle. Meanwhile, as we see so often, there's a split. There's a umbrella group called NOTAV, and they are very upset at any impolite actions, shall we say, and distance themselves. There's usually that kind of split, I guess there is. Friday, this is posted Friday, again, not just news from this week, but news that was revealed this week. On the night of the 16th, a factory farm under construction near Alvesa in northwest Germany was destroyed by arson, a very big one, completely destroyed. And this was announced today, something that happened on July 19th. And I wanted to mention it mainly because it's from Malta, that little island in the middle of the Mediterranean, almost exactly in the center of the Mediterranean Sea. Just because it is from Malta, and I haven't heard from Malta lately. ALF activists liberated dozens of bluefin tuna from a cage off the Maltese coast, causing 100,000 euros in damage. In an act of sanity and compassion, an undetermined number of this endangered fish was released back into their freedom, sign Animal Liberation Front. And Sunday the 24th, getting back to Sunday the 24th, in the Philippines, 40 anarchists wearing masks and mostly dressed in black vandalized and disrupted the area of Commonwealth Avenue in the capital. The State of the Nation was taking place, which... these anarchist individuals, without leaders and with clear mind and visions, small in numbers compared to the 8,000-strong authoritarian left who had recruited people to be there with their permit zone for their demo, these anarchists just came in there and caused havoc, and they, part of their statement, and their description is great, this is on InfoShop News, on Friday, destroy hierarchy, defend ecology. It was war from our hearts. It was spontaneity, no arrests. Yeah, they made their presence known. And in northeast Germany, in the Alt-Tellen area, this largest pig breeding facility was to be built, but the surveying work was destroyed. The survey stakes and the other measurements and survey work, including the soil survey, was destroyed. So, they're in the light of many protests against the planned and approved construction at Alt-Tellen, there was even an arson attack from the company against the company which provided the land. So, there is already there is a strong resistance against this giant planned pig breeding facility, which means animal suffering, pollution of the air and environment, which isn't wanted anywhere. So that's the news from Germany. And last Tuesday, in Barcelona, in the district office of Clot. Clot is a part of the neighborhood in Barcelona. After a day-long confrontation with cops, which ended with several people injured, one arrested, this has to do with an eviction. The neighborhood fighting the evictions. A cop was also attacked and sent running. Kids in the park applauded and supported the action with shouts of support. Vengeance is our weapon against their impunity, solidarity, and direct action against the evictions. The police are not people, they are trash. All right, and last Thursday, July 28th, kind of a sum up about the Pelican Bay Security Housing Unit hunger strike, which had spread to at least 13 prisons and at least 6,600 people participating. This really got all over the California system. And it is possible that at Corcoran and Tehachapi, two of the almost as bad joints as the real Supermax Pelican Bay facility in the extreme northern part of the state, they may still be on strike. There's not clear communication, but this is from last Thursday. This is it really did sweep across the whole prison system there. We might hear some more about that. Okay, on Friday, about 100 Shell to Sea campaigners took part in a National Day of Action today in Erris, Ireland. This has to do with the Shell oil facility there. Fences were pulled down, security and police. There was a level of violence that we've seen today against Shell to Sea campaigners who were mostly peaceful. And people are trying to stop the latest development there in terms of oil facilities. Yeah, a couple of people had head injuries from that. And this was posted Friday. Friends of the Earth is an anarchist group that does not only struggle for liberation by means of the destruction of automobiles, but they also claim responsibility for other acts of rebellion. They claim this is some of their latest stuff: incendiary attacks on automobiles, luxury car. This is all in Buenos Aires, by the way. Two luxury cars and a patrol car from the Argentina Federal Police were set on fire. We are for the destruction of any society that restricts individual freedom and the free development of the natural world. Nor are we pure, but we try to be as consistent as possible, not to prove something to others, but to prove to ourselves that we can do more. Anarchists. And last Sunday night, late Sunday night, the Vodafone antenna, big cell phone tower. Yeah, this is Sunday night. This is in Italy. It has the... I don't know where the town is, but it's in the north somewhere, in northern Italy. Antenna turned into a huge torch. It's an arson attack in support of freedom for Billy, Costa, and Sylvia, who were sentenced to 3 years for their planned attack on an IBM facility in Switzerland. They already served 15 months. And so maybe somebody could clarify that. Maybe 3 years includes the 15 months served. I'm hoping that's true. Yeah, the arson fed by a bottle of gasoline on the ground, and the claim, I guess this was spray painted, the unpredictability of life will take you with fire, and no TAV. They're also part of that. And also Friday, boy, it's hard to keep up with the resistance from on the part of lockdown non-legals in various countries. In Rome, 8 cops were injured overnight as detainees. You know, there are all these prisons for, quote, illegals or people without papers. There was at an immigrant detention center, as they call them, near Rome. The riot broke out. These are mostly Algerian people locked down. The riot lasted 3 hours. Lots of damage. Protests follow similar scenes on Wednesday at a center in Sicily. And today, in Bari, which is on the heel of Italy, the southeasternmost part of Italy. Hundreds of immigrants blocked roads and tracks near the center in protest against the, well, basically the confinement of refugees, the same kind of thing. So, yeah, there's I can't even keep up with stuff on that front. And let's see, Friday there was an attack on an oil pipeline in Syria as part of the 4-month-long fight in Syria. Lots of people dead, as we know, but there's all kinds of opposition of the really courageous kind in that country's uprising. This is a bomb. The government, of course, called it a terrorist attack. Seriously, the oil revenue is much in danger. And on Saturday, in the Sinai, a strategic pipeline carrying natural gas from Egypt to Israel and Jordan was attacked again. It had been mostly shut down because it had already been attacked very recently. And on Saturday, 150,000 people took to the streets in Israel. The largest protest ever there. One of the biggest demonstrations in their history. Biggest, apparently, in terms of a protest type thing. Whether this has a huge amount of edge, it's hard to say, but there must be some fraction here that's pretty radical, we hope. And on Sunday, the Metropolitan, this is kind of interesting, and maybe this is a sign of the times, this is telling us something. The Metropolitan Police in London have released an injunction to other police forces in the UK, together with other organizations, also to businesses, for example, telling the public to contact your local police force to report on local anarchists. So now they've got to resort to that to get people to surveil and snitch on anarchists. Something seems to be going on there. And on the weekend, this is Antisec. 70 U.S. law enforcement accounts were hacked. It was announced by some hackers. Loads of sensitive internal information of all kinds revealed. That's pretty major. And they put out this whole list of all the different cop agencies, sheriff's departments, and so forth around the country. And it seems like there's more forest defense stuff. There's been a return of forest defense energy, it seems like. Yesterday, just to mention part of it, and you can go to forestdefensenow.com. They update that fairly regularly in terms of blockades and other things going on. There were three people that locked themselves down in Malala. Malala, of course, is a native name. The Malala people used to live there. As a culmination of the annual Trans and Women's Action Camp, playing their part in this. And last night, this is another thing that doesn't go on when there isn't something afoot, when there isn't some kind of juice out there. People just don't feel like doing it. This is not a huge deal, but Department of Corrections office in West Seattle had its windows broken out. Against prison was written on the building. Solidarity with all those who face the everyday violence and repression of prison and the police, fire to the prisons. Seattle Anarchist Book Fair is coming up in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from this next weekend. That's August 19th to the 20th, I think it is. Yeah, fair amount of action. Boy, I didn't realize. It took a while to get to that, which I always feel is important. Boy, there's quite a lot of stuff to get to. Here's a couple of ads of the week. The millions upon millions of iPhones, cell phones. Well, now it behooves them to try to greenwash the whole thing. IBM has a full-page ad in various magazines. Now phones make smaller footprints. That's just a claim, along with brain cancer. And Sprint has unveiled the eco-friendly Samsung Replenish. It can charge itself in the sunlight. Yeah, so we can have more millions and billions of these, and somehow imagine that it's all good. Here's a little conceit, but this could be the poster of the week. This is from Belgrade. The next year, there's going to be this huge, I think, pretty nonsensical sustainability conference. I think it's in July 2012, big UN deal in Brazil. And so they had a global competition to pick a poster. And it was won by a college student in Serbia, Serbian student. A global student poster competition. She was interviewed widely and stuff. And anyway, mentioned me as an inspiration. So I think the poster was kind of vaguely solar-oriented, you know, not expressly primitivist, but just possibly a few people might get on to some of the ideas by that. You know, the person who sent it wasn't thrilled by it, but I think, you know, that's it's not about me, but it's, you know, it's another connecting point. Probably people will see that and have no idea who or what a Zerzan is, but they might, you know, they might connect a little bit there. Data shows all of Earth's systems in rapid decline. I'll just leave it at that. This is another bundle of studies. This is stuff from Canada. You know, it just gets a little tiresome. And, but you know what? I think we're going to... Oh, yeah, I had a whole lot of other high-tech stuff. Well, it'll keep. Yeah, there's some dandy... There's some dandy stuff that's... here's just one thing. Maybe this is a little silver lining. This was reported yesterday. There has been something called the... What is it called? The Graham thesis, that you can put more and more and more transistors onto a silicon chip and just do that forever. And so this drives a giant push to have more features and more, you know, can do all kinds of new stuff for your computers, laptops, smartphones, all that stuff. It drives the next generation electronics, you know, all that sort of thing. Well, now they've discovered that all these chips, the more you pack them in there, the more power it takes, and also the hotter it gets, and they start to self-destruct, they start to melt. So it's not true. There is no perpetual motion machine of infinite number of transistors on a chip. And you can put an infinite number almost, maybe, but then it won't work. So that's nice to know. This is in the New York Times yesterday. High-tech progress hits snag. Well, going to hang on to stuff, and we're going to close, we're going to wind up here with something that I think is pretty cool. We have Soli here, and he's going to give us a little meditation on Facebook from a book called For the Vast Needs of Little People. See you next week.
This is a piece from F.G. Soli's book, For the Vast Needs of Little People. Your face, the whole face, and nothing but the face, so help you God of facelessness, condition of a placeless situation. Once it was you, the reader, who faced into the book in order to open those worlds in its pages, to read and know and wander through pages of worlds and wonder and book. Now it is the bookless book that faces out to a you-less you, with a mindless mind from a void of useless usefulness, the information that demands, the information that uses you, that must be read, that must be faced, consumed, is always on. It's never really closed. You can't close it. The it has found your face of mind, your mindless face that's in your space of placeless world. No more old-fashioned book closing, opening, closing, as you once did choose to open and close an old book made of paper, pages, binding, could be stored and shelved, collected, hoarded, cataloged, not demanding to be read any more than a room demands to be occupied, a room full of books on shelves, or an entire library there when you choose to enter and find a book to read and not to read. So now you read the Facebook always in your faceless face before your mindless mind. Become it, it becomes you. You consume it, it consumes you. You consume the it consumes the you. The Facebook for your face is always in your placeless place. It's where you wake, it's where you sleep. But how to sleep and so escape? Your mind's a box of cyber hits. Pandora waits. It's in a box, and boxed in it becomes a you. Become in it, and then you're in, and it's in you. Diluted and dispersed for simple complex of a box, times many, many boxed in it, times one in you. Where is a you but in a screen, and voice and words and world on screen, encrypted and conscripted, face of bookless book. And faceless face, while no one waits for not so long, becomes an it that's in a box, that's in a you, that's in its power, absorbs, and then dissolves your face, your fate, a fameless face, in families of friend in face, and families of foe in face, a family and mass, the slave of mass, and mass of slaves, so banal and so plain, thus so strange, behind, in front, without a place of face for you, without the nose, without the ear, without the mind, without the eye, just mouth, yes, just a mouth. You're in a face of placeless place and mindless mind, just mouth that can't shut up. So now it's time for us to pray that you may find a mind for face and face for mind, for placeless space with menless men and menless women men, for all their lookless looks. We pray for useless using. Every user lost may find her home in homeless spaces, placeless places made for women looking for no men without their bookless books. We pray for space without location by directionless directing, turning back to a beginning that began without intending, every means without its meaning, and creationless creating. For all faceless faces turning pages without seeing, for all minds without their thinking, where your words without their messages, your looks without your looking, fill each sentence without meaning, every man in hiding behind faceless facing, every woman waiting with her mindless minding, lookless looks. We pray by prayerless praying, every user without using, find and lose a guide not guiding toward a speck on no horizon, past the shadows of no mountain, under dark less darkening, or in a bright less bright. May your face without its facing, mind without its thinking, look without its seeing, lose and find a nightless night. The traveler not traveling, a way toward placeless places, follow stars behind their shining, suns before their blazing, while your searchless searching makes a turn without its turning, for your faceless facing ever through a nightless night.
You kiss my knee. Saving me a seat.
so lightly here. It is in love that we are made. In love we disappear. Though all the maps of blood and flesh are posted on. Yeah.